He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are.
Good morning, y'all.
We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching.
The Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona. Your weekend wake-up call. Saturday morning tradition for 28 years. Have we got a show lined up for you this morning. Woo! It is going to be jam-packed today. So just as we often tell you, we're going to tell you you ought to go ahead and crawl out of bed and brush your teeth, comb your hair, put your hard hats on, your eye protection, and fasten your seat belts, because we have got a ton of stuff for you this morning. Good morning. We're here, the entire staff, plus some extra ancillary, super special help. Romy here, my co-host and son, is here as always. He'll be heading up the outdoor hour at 8 o'clock. You've got some special guests showing up then.
Well, Jay's on. Well, he's traveling, so we're not going to have him today. He's judging a contest that cities enter called America in Bloom. But we were able to get a pre-recorded interview with him before he got on his plane, so we'll bring you that. It's a pretty neat program. And then coming in, we have John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service,
our
certified arborist. And I almost said Scotty, but it's Tim of Scotty's Lawnmower. It's a perfect time for lawns, and you know, it's always at the beginning of the season that your mower's been sitting all winter, that it breaks or fires or sputters, and
let's get her overhauled, baby.
Yeah, good time
turbocharge the lawnmower.
Mowers, trimmers, hedgers, small engine power tools.
Okay. 9 o'clock will be open hour, but we'll be featuring some gift ideas for Dad, as well as talking about what should be in that first homeowner's toolbox. At 10 o'clock, we'll be talking about the science of staying comfortable in your desert home this summer at 120 degrees.
Good luck with that one.
And that stands them running.
That hour sponsored by the Wigwam Resort.
Oh, cool. Convenient.
Yeah, right. Stan Zambrunnen's here in studio. Y'all know him as Stan the Man, our general manager at Rosie on the House Remodeling. Call screening this morning is his wife, sweet Nancy. Nancy, thanks for rousing out this morning and joining us here in studio. Mike Reisch, of course, is our Jackrabbit, South Dakota Jackrabbit, manning all the big buttons and dials in the broadcast engineer's booth. And then we have Bree looking over his shoulder, making sure he pushes the right buttons and turns the right dial. So the entire team is here. Anytime in the next 4 hours that you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. It's a toll-free number from wherever you are in the great state of Arizona. My wife, sweet Jennifer, picks up the call tab, 1-888-767-4348. You can remember that easily, 1-888-ROSIE-4-U. Now, we've had some famous guests on the show in the past. And the way we decide what we're going to talk about on the show is we just get around our conference table and we brainstorm topics. And sometimes that kind of revolves around current events. Sometimes it just revolves around things we're curious about. Recently, something we're curious about turned into a current event when the meteorite blazed in over the top of Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had a listener call in as an eyewitness. He had seen it driving from Maricopa to Mesa. And he said, Rosie, when I saw it, the entire sky turned green. Then there was this flash. Then there was this sonic boom. And then you saw the explosion. He said, I could have sworn it hit downtown Mesa.
I'll be joined.
Now, so Jennifer says, who could we get on air to talk about meteorites? And I said, well, we've got Steve Gates, Dr. Sky. He's always a great interview. Yeah, he is. I love Dr. Sky. But we stumbled across this television show, Meteorite Men. And how could you not want someone from Meteorite Men Television to be on the program? She called, the publicist called us back and said, Jeff Notkin of the Meteorite Men, he's an Emmy-winning television producer and host, award-winning author, global traveler, and owner of the largest meteorite company in the universe. How could you not want Jeff Notkin, right? Let's bring Jeff into the conversation. He's joining us by phone this morning. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Rosie. I think that's the best intro I've ever had. Thank you for that.
You're the most famous person we've ever had.
So. Oh, you're too kind.
Man.
I like that largest meteorite company in the universe.
In the universe.
That's a really good tagline.
Yes, something to say about that, right?
It'll be right till it's proven wrong.
That's right.
You know, we say the same thing because one of the things we use on our website is we ship anywhere in the known universe. So I'm always waiting for some alien civilization to call and go, yeah, can you ship out here to Alpha Centauri? And then we'll probably have to take it off the website, but we'll see.
Now, Jeff, my curious mind just has to know what drives a person to found and own the largest meteorite company in the universe?
Gosh, that's an intriguing question. I'll try and give you a sensible answer. I have been smitten with meteorites, not physically, not actually hit in the head by one, but I mean amazed and delighted, fascinated with these visitors from outer space since I was a little boy. And as is so handy when you're semi-grown up, you can look back and go, I blame my parents for
this. There you go.
So my father was an amateur astronomer. He was fascinated by the night sky, always setting up his telescope, usually fruitlessly because we lived at the southern edge of Greater London. I grew up in the UK. So the UK, of course, notorious for its cloudy skies, one of the least astronomy-friendly places on our planet. But my dad was a very persistent fellow. So we have these amusing, I have these amusing memories where I'm fast asleep and I'd be woken up and there's my father and he goes, I'm taking you downstairs, and he'd wrap me up in a blanket and go out into the garden, into the freezing night air, and hold me up to his telescope and go, look, here's the moon and craters, or here's Saturn. And my poor mom, she'd go, don't wake the boy up, he's got school tomorrow. And she'd go, he'll catch his death out there. And I'm thinking, well, if I get sick, I won't have to go to school tomorrow. So double bonus.
There you go.
Astronomy at night and not having to go to school. So I had this whimsical fascination with astronomy in the night sky. And I visited all the science museums in London when I was a kid and saw meteorites for the first time. And I was amazed by this. Well, look at this. Here are rocks from outer space that have landed on our funny little planet. And I was transfixed by this idea that you could touch something. A little boy could put his hand on a rock that had traveled millions and millions of miles to be here. And at that time, in a fairly grandiose manner, in retrospect, I promised myself that one day I would have a real meteorite, little imagining it would become the prime directive in my life, as we Star Trek fans say. So it's been a lifelong fascination, but when I got a bit older, I read books, and I determined I would go out and search for visitors from space. And I had the good fortune to meet a strange character named Steve Arnold back in the 90s who was searching for meteorites full time. And I thought, what a crazy cat this guy is. And we became great friends, and he became my co-host on the Meteorite Men television show many years later.
You figure it's pretty crazy until you learn what these things are worth. Now, I've hiked, I would say, probably the great majority of Arizona. And I've stumbled across a couple of these meteorite searchers. And when Jennifer brought up the idea, let's bring in somebody that searches for meteorites, I said, you know, the guys I bump into looking for that stuff, isn't anybody you'd want to put on the radio program.
Those aren't the kind of guys we want to talk to, right?
Oh, my gosh, well said. I probably know the exact guys you're talking about, too. Because if you run into them randomly in the desert when you're hiking, it means they have to be out there all the time to even up the odds.
Yes.
And I know who the guys are. Kind of sunbaked out there in the Mojave. No, I'm really going to find the big one this decade.
Well, you know, the Speaking of the big one, it was just last Halloween 2015, a skull-shaped meteorite the size of a battleship traveling 48,000 miles an hour just narrowly missed Earth. And that is discerning, kind of disconcerting. But then I found out it came from the blind side of the universe. Jeff, I didn't know we had a blind side of the universe.
We got blindsided?
Isn't that the name of the new science fiction show that's being developed? If it's not, it definitely should be.
Man, I thought we had telescopes looking in all directions.
We knew about all of these things. And how close did it come? Was it a near miss or a near hit?
About the distance the moon is away, I believe, is what I remember.
It's only a couple hundred thousand miles. That's not very far.
And in astronomical terms, of course, that is really close. But also, if you think, well, nearly a quarter of a million miles, something that comes within that's within the distance of the moon's orbit from us is regarded scientifically as a near miss, and that's just because the distances in space that we're talking about are so vast. So you raise an extremely important point. It's perhaps the most important point there is in any conversation, and that is that we, on our little planet Earth wandering through space, face a very real danger of asteroid impact. And I'm not an alarmist. It's not likely to happen in our lifetimes or anytime soon. But when you study meteorites, you also end up studying craters. And so I have visited some of the largest craters on the surface of the Earth. And one of them, in the Tamir Peninsula in northern Siberia, which, let me tell you, is not on the way to anywhere.
No, you are on your own. And I'm going to want to – we're going to need to take just a little quick break here right now. We're going to come back and talk – we're going to talk craters on the Siberian Peninsula. We're going to come back. We're talking about Meteor Crater right here in Arizona, pretty significant. We're going to talk about the catastrophic crater off the coast of the Yucatan. But we also want to talk about this little meteorite that landed in Arizona. If you saw what some of these little pieces are worth, you'd be out there searching. And I want to find out from Jeff, how do you filter the map? How do you cross-section the map to determine here's where we go look? And that's what we're going to get when we come back.
And before we get there, I got to squeeze in one for all the curious minds out there. Jeff, where can I see your show?
We aired on Science and Discovery Science for many years and still rerun sometimes. The episodes are all on YouTube at present, and so you can watch them for free.
Awesome.
The show is called Meteorite Men.
Meteorite Men.
Exactly how to get out and hunt for these space rocks.
Talking craters.